But I've got a picture of Jonathan up there because just about an hour ago, as a matter of fact, he's probably just about finishing up going over his topic for the retreat, which is, if you'll hit the next slide, faith, hope, and love. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And he took a section for each week or for each session and went over one of these. And what I'm going to do is just kind of give you a little overview of what they're doing. So when they come back, you'll have an idea of what they were talking about and really how good the things that they're learning and the things that they're looking in Scripture are. But if you'll hit the next slide right there. These are the three, hope, faith, and love. And the first verse that we have, there you go, is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this is an interesting verse because the way you interpret these things depend on how you're defining the words that are in it. And that's really part of the problem that we have in reading the scriptures because we have these worldly conceptions of words, but they may not mean the same thing in Scripture. In other words, faith to us may mean something completely different than faith does to God. And so as we're reading the Scriptures, these Scriptures give us an idea and point us to what God is trying to say to us, that as the heavens are above the earth, is a little bit above the way we naturally think. Because most of us, the question is okay, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know what the word of God is. I mean, we've got it right here. But what's faith? And if you ask people what faith is and define what faith is, you're going to get all kinds of different answers. And you're going to get all kinds of different thoughts about it. And basically, most people think of faith and having faith as something that they believe or they have a set of things that they expect and they don't doubt. And so when people think about faith, they think, you know, I struggle with faith. I struggle with my faith. I try to have faith, but when I start to have faith, I think about things and, you know, I question whether it's really going to happen. I can't make myself believe. I can't make myself have this unshakable faith that I know it's going to happen. And part of the problem with that is that we as human beings think about faith objectively, like it's a fact. You know, I believe this is going to happen. I'm going to believe it's going to happen. But our faith is not in something, and it's certainly not in our ability to believe it. But a lot of people, when they're thinking of faith, they're thinking about their ability to not question and not doubt. And that's not what faith is. Our faith is, Jesus says, supposed to be not in our strength and conviction and determination, but our faith is supposed to be in God. And that's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, who is a person. Because our faith is not in what we think will happen. Our faith is in the person who's in control of what happens. And that's very, very different. It's why we as human beings struggle with faith, because ultimately we know we cannot control what happens. We can't control the circumstances. We can't control the people. We can't even control ourselves at certain times. And so if our faith is based upon something that we're doing or a strength that we have or a commitment that we have, at points we're going to shout, it's going to be shaky. But if our faith is in God because we have heard God, we see God, we understand who God is, we don't understand what's going to happen, we know we can't control things, but we know this, that God has called me. I know that. I don't understand who God is, but I know God has spoken to me, and I have surrendered to him, and I am following him, and I know that he is going to be working all these things to good because I love him and because he's called me according to his purpose, and I'm following him. So my faith is in God. It's not in what I think is going to happen. And so if you'll flip the next slide right there, the next verse is this that goes on in that same theme in the Bible that's telling us your faith is not in what you think God says is going to happen. How many of you have ever thought you knew what God was going to happen and later on realized that you didn't quite have it quite right. And God did not do what you thought he was going to do. He did not do what you thought he promised you. You knew this is what God said, and yet later on you realized that your emotions got involved, your desires got involved. It was not what God wanted, okay? Our faith is based on God himself knowing that only he knows the future and he is in control of it. And it says in Hebrews 12, 2, let us fix our eyes on who? On Jesus. He's the truth. The author and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's the one that gives us it. We have faith because we know who he is. We have faith because he knows he loves us. We have faith because we can trust him. We have faith in him because he is working in our lives and he is perfecting our faith. If you hit the next slide, we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, and I'm just going to drop down to the end, flip that next one and highlight it. Faith is revealed, the righteousness or the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the fact that God is always right and always going to do what's right and he can be counted on, that's revealed from faith to faith. So we have a process in which we grow in faith as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of him and as we trust him. Go ahead and flip the next one there. Therefore, Romans 5, 1 and 2 says, we have been, and highlight that, justified through faith. So in other words, we're not justified because of how mature we are. We're not justified because of how disciplined we are. We're not justified because of how strong we are. We're not justified because of how good we are. We are justified because we recognize who God is and how great he is and how far we are from him, but that he still loves us, and so we cling to him or rely on him. And that's what the word faith really means. If we were going to define that word for word and try to find some words that are synonyms to it, that we take the word faith and put to that Hebrew word, you'd have to put rely on or trust in, or my favorite is cling to. Because what it's really saying is this. It's saying that whenever we're in trouble, you know, we look for help. And whoever it is that you look to help, and you know that that person is not going to leave you. You know that that person is going to help you. You know that that person is going to support you. That person that you feel like, oh, I've got nowhere to go. I got to be with this person. I got to talk to this person. I got to go see this person. I've got to be with that person. That person is supposed to be God. And that's the person that you cling to. So even if things look like they're falling apart, even if you feel like, I don't see how it's going to work out, you're going to cling to God and follow him no matter what. And that clinging to him is faith because you've got faith in him, even if you don't understand those circumstances. And he looks and he says, because you see me and because you trust me and because you recognize I am in control of everything as the authority and you rely on me, and because when you're not sure what to do, you still cling to me and you're going to follow me, because of that, you are justified in my sight. I know you're immature. I know that you don't know all the right things to do. I know you're trying, but you know, you're a little child, the Bible says we are. We don't understand all that God wants to do, and probably everybody in this room would agree that we fall very short of doing everything God wants us to do all the time. But God says, no, you're my child. You're clinging to me. I'm going to bring you along. I'm going to work in your life. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize who the authority is. We recognize who's in control. We submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ because we know he loves us, and it gives us peace with God. And it goes on in verse 2 and says, through whom we have gained access by faith. We don't gain access to God because we're better at obeying him than somebody else. Because we're never going to fully be able to do everything or understand everything God wants us to do. But we gain access to God because we cling to him. He is more important to us than anything else. We love him. We trust him. We rely on him. And that gives us access to the grace, which that word basically means that he is going to give us what we need. And we need different things at different times. But we have access to God where if I need more strength, if I need more courage, if I need more wisdom, whatever I need, God can give it to me because I've got access to him and I stand in that grace. It's my relationship with him. It's my faith that allows me to stand. Because the world will knock it down if I don't have it focused on who God is. If you'll flip the next one. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by, some of your translations say, we walk by faith. We live by and we walk by faith. And what that basically means is that faith is not something abstract. Faith is something that is active in our lives. We live by faith. In other words, we ask this question, God, what do you want me to do? Wherever you want me to go, I will follow you. I had an experience just a couple of weeks ago where I was talking with somebody and they were in a very, very difficult situation and the circumstances were not going well and the people involved with them were not cooperating at all. And they got to the point where they felt like they were just in a terrible situation that was not going to go well for them. And the people that they were dealing with were not going to cooperate under any circumstances. And so I just asked the person, I said, well, it seems to me like what you're saying is right or wrong. That no matter what you do, they're not going to cooperate. And they said, absolutely, 100%. And I said, well, then what you need to do is ask yourself this question. In that circumstance, as bad as it is, how would God want you to respond? What would Christ want you to do in this situation? Because he's allowed you in it. And there was just a long silence. And then they said, you know, I never really thought about it like that. And I said, well, what do you think God would want you to do in this situation? And they said, well, I think he would want me to, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what they said because then you might be able to figure out what was going on. But they gave just a perfect answer. And I said, well, just think of the difference of how God could work through your response like that than the response you're having right now. Right now you're fighting them on everything that happens. And so they're going to walk away and they're going to be going, man, that person, they're trying to push me. They're fighting back and forth with you. But if you just submit to Christ and submit to the situation and say, you know, I'm going to respond in the right way. And if this is how it's going to be, then we'll just move on from here. And you let that go. It gives God a chance to work in their lives and say, why aren't you cooperating like they are? And they stopped and thought, and they said, you know what? I've been a Christian like 30 years, and I have never asked myself that question in a crisis before. Whenever I was in a place where things were falling apart, I never stopped and asked myself, how would God want me to respond in this unfair or bad situation? I always tried to look for a way to fix it. I always were looking for a way for God to change the things that were happening. I don't think I've ever stopped and asked myself in a situation like that, what would God want me to do in this bad situation? This changes the whole way. That was the most amazing part of the conversation. This changes the whole way I think about Christianity. That's a light bulb moment. That's starting to understand what faith really is. Faith is not knowing what's right and wrong and being determined to do it. Faith is realizing that God is in control and there's all kinds of things happening that I don't see, but if I follow him, God has a plan for me. And it's a redemptive plan. And he may take me in some difficult places, but he's taking me there to do good. Not just for me, but for others. And sometimes I might suffer a little so God can do good for someone else. But he's God, and I'm his child, and I'm his servant. And so the only question that matters is this, Am I going to cling to him when things get tough? Or am I only going to cling to him and follow him when things are going the way I want them to? As soon as things go differently from what I expected, do I all of a sudden start to doubt and start to question and start to manipulate and I've got no time now for searching for God and what he wants because I got to figure a way out of this? And so how you think of faith and what faith is very, very important because faith is the cornerstone of what happens, and our faith is in the person of Christ. It grows as we know Christ. It comes from listening to him and what he's saying, not what we think or not what we reason he owes us because of what he said. We're supposed to live by faith, not by sight. You know, it's very, very difficult for us as human beings not to live by sight. It's very, very difficult for us not to lean on our own understanding because God gave us some incredible minds. And how many of you are like me, you have a trouble overanalyzing things? My dad always used to tell me, you think too much, because I can think through everything and I can analyze and overanalyze everything. And I have many, many reasons to be able to figure out how something could go wrong or something might not work out. But God says, no, he says, look, you live with the heart I want you to live. You be true to the character of Christ. And I am going to work good things out of this. You have faith in me and you be true to me. You live with integrity. Don't look at what's happening and think that these situations are so bad that God can't work through them. Nothing is impossible with God. God can work through all of these things. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me and obey me. And that's what faith really boils down to. So if you'll flip to the next slide right there. 1 John 5:21 says this, "Dear children, keep yourself from idols." And that's plural, idols. Because anything that takes the place of the importance of God that we rely in, we trust on, or we cling to, we think we have to have or we need, is an idol. And we don't have an idol. We have many idols. As a matter of fact, human nature is searching for an idol because we all are uncomfortable when we realize life is out of control. And no one has life in control but God. No one understands the plan for your life but God. We're not even going to understand it until we can look back at it. But God sees what's happening and he is leading us through life, and it is unknown, and we have to trust. We have to be true to him and walk. And so inside of us, there's this pull that says, is there something that could do it quicker than God? Is there something that I could find that I could make sure is going to make my life good, and I don't have to worry about what's going to happen later, but that I can just have right now? And that's an idol. And it can be a person. It can be a job. It can be just about anything that you can think of. But anything that I take pleasure in that makes me be able to get through the moment of the day, that is an idol. And he says, keep yourselves from idols. In other words, living by faith, it's not like our spare tire. So if things go wrong, then I got to have faith. And I believe God to help me out. It's my steering wheel. It's the thing that goes through life that I'm thinking, okay, every step I take, everything that I do, it's got to be centered on God and what his plan for my life is, because I don't want to drift away from what he's doing because I might miss something that God has planned for me, and I want to serve him. I want to fulfill his will. So I don't want to be distracted by other things and have my focus on other things. I always want my focus on Christ as I am walking through life. The next slide moves us on to Hebrews 11:6, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is a tough verse for people if they don't realize that faith is centered on Christ. It's centered on God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's why I seek him rather than working things out for my life first. Because If I am not clinging to him, if I'm not relying on him, I'm leaning on my own understanding. If I'm not seeking what God's will is, knowing that his thoughts and his ways and his plans are higher than mine, so if I'm not seeking them, I'm not going to find them. If I'm not seeking God, I'm going to take a route that's way below what God has planned. And my goal is going to be off-centered from what God is expecting from me. And so if I am not clinging to him and relying on him, it's impossible for me to please God, because I'm not going to plan out my life the way God would want me to. And I'm going to take shortcuts when I get pressured. So go ahead and hit this next slide right here. Faith gives us hope. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want you to notice that our hope is in the greatness of God being revealed to us and being revealed to others. But the greatness of God is what our hope is. And hope is much different in the way the Bible defines it than the way the world does. To us, we define hope like it's something we're hoping for. We really wish it would happen. We really want it to happen. We would like to see it come true. We don't know, but we're pushing towards it. That's, to us, that's hope. In the Bible, hope is something that's solid. It's something that doesn't move. It's something that's the anchor. The Bible calls it the anchor of our faith. Because hope is something that we have that we know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what people are going to do. But I know this, God's good. I know this, God's promised me that if I am true to him, he will make a way for me. I even know that if I make a mistake and I don't do the right thing, God will forgive me and guide me because my faith is in him. So the only thing I have to worry about is, am I seeking him? And not only so, it continues in verse 3, it says, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So if you look at that, what Paul is saying is this. He's saying, look, your hope is in God, and that's solid. And God is going to put you through some times of testing. You're not going to just walk through with everything falling in your lap. You're going to have some times of suffering and trials, and that suffering where you say, you know what, this is tough, but I'm going to follow God because I know he's good. It develops in us perseverance, and perseverance gives us character. It forms our hearts to whereas we are trained to be able to think and respond like Christ does. And character gives us hope, because we look and we see, I don't know what God is doing in the world, but I know what he's doing in my heart. I know how God has changed me. I know how God has worked through me in different ways, and I can see that God is fulfilling his promises, because the world is not going to change, but God will transform us, his people. And it says that hope does not disappoint us. How many of you have ever had hope in something in the world's terminology and were disappointed? Our hope never disappoints us, because our hope is based on our understanding of who God is. And because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that brings us, as we go forward to the next slide, as we move up, talking about grace, it says that, for the grace of God, which comes from his love, that brings salvation, has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to godliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in other words, as we have faith in God, and we place our faith in God, we get this hope of knowing who God is. And if you're in a place where you say, I just don't feel like I have hope, where you need to work is on faith. Because faith produces hope. Faith always produces hope. If you don't have hope, you don't have faith. You're not walking with faith. And I don't mean that you don't have any faith, But what I mean is it needs to grow from faith to faith to faith, because when you're discouraged and you feel like, I think God's love might disappoint me, what's happened is you're starting to lean on your own understanding rather than walk by faith. You're losing your vision of who God is, and you're thinking about your circumstances, or you're thinking about people around you. And when we have that hope, we know that God is with us and we know that God is going to work. I can say no. I can say I'm not going to react the way I feel, because I know it's not what God wants me to do. So even though I think I might get my way if I do that, I'm not going to do it because it's not what God wants. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to live how he wants me to, and I'm going to let him work these things out. Because as it says in verse 14, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And that's the miraculous transformation that we have. Instead of thinking of ourselves and when we're pressured, trying to figure out a way to manipulate life for our advantage, we want to do what's good in God's sight. We want to do what's good for God's reputation. We want to do what advances God's kingdom. We want to do what's good and what's right, and we're eager to do those things. If you'll hit that next slide. I keep asking, Ephesians 1, 17 and through 19 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glory, glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. All the time you hear us say, you cannot have faith without being in God's word. You cannot know God without listening to his word. You can't get it from thinking about what you think God is like, or listening to hear what somebody else thinks God is like, or reading from somebody who you really respect who they think God is like. If you want to know God, you've got to talk with God. If you want to know God, you've got to listen to God. If you want to understand somebody, you've got to really kind of actively listen to deeply try to pick out what are they really trying to say. And if you immerse yourself in God's word like that, he will give you wisdom and he will open your eyes to see who he is. And that will give you the hope that you develop from faith. As you have that place, that clinging on him, that hope will become solid. And our last one is love. Now, let me read that last part of that. Yeah, the power that is working of his mighty strength that he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only the present age, but also the one to come. The reason I included this last part in here is because this is how that power works. As we seek to hear God, we understand he really does know everything that's going on. His way really is best. God's way is right. God is right. When I follow him, things are going to work out well because he knows what he's doing and what he tells me is right. And I see him as the power, as the dominion, as the ruler, as the authority. I want to submit myself to him because I see him and I love him. And as I do, that hope becomes solid because it's something I know is going to happen. The next verse that we have as we come to our conclusion here, Galatians 5, 6. And I've got kind of this in a couple of different versions. You guys have got different versions in front of you there. NIV, I think, says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. I think it's the New King James that says, what's important is faith that works by love. And some of your versions say, faith that works through love. But faith produces hope, and hope produces love. First off, there's the awareness that God truly loves us. It's hard for me to really know God loves me if I really don't understand who he is or what he's saying. If he seems vague and I don't understand his heart, then it's easy for me to have doubts if things look like they're going wrong. But as I start to understand who God is and what he says and what he's trying to tell me, then that faith becomes solid because everything that God says is right, and I know it's right. And as I put my hope in that, and I base my life on that, and so my actions start to follow that, and I don't just listen, but I obey, then I start to realize why God told me. Why did God reveal himself to me? I mean, I'm just a little speck of dust in the universe. Think of how many people are in this country, let alone the world. Why would God, who is so great, speak to me? Why did God care? Why does he touch my heart? And why does he guide my life? God loves me. That's an awesome thought to realize. The God of the universe sees me. Why would he see me? David says that. Why are you mindful of us? Why would we even enter the mind of God? And yet he does. And I know he does because he stirs my heart with his word. I see his truth. I see what he's trying to tell me. And as I realize his great love for me, my faith becomes more solid. My hope becomes unshakable. And he transforms me to realize, I want to be like that. I don't want to be in a way that's displeasing to God. I want to be in a way that makes God's heart just jump for joy because I'm a man after God's own heart. And that love of God that works faith in me, as I know how much he loves me, it produces faith in me, which produces a hope so that I can live for him no matter what. And I can love other people like him, which is not normal for human beings. And so I just thought as Jonathan was talking through and we looked at those things, understanding what faith, hope, and love is, that it's so important. And it's so easy for us to go through our lives with all the demands and all the distractions and all the pressures that we have and not ever really stop and think about what really is faith? You know, do I have faith? If so, is it evident in the hope I have? You know, how much hope do I really have when things get difficult? Does my faith disappear as soon as things are tough? Do I only have faith when things working out? What's the evidence of that faith in the hope that I have, and how does it change the way I live? And what is that hope based on? And it cannot be based on anything other than the love of God shown through Jesus Christ in his great sacrifice for us. And the power of God's love and how he demonstrated it through that and rose Christ from the dead. Well, let's just take a minute, and I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes. And I just want you to think for a few minutes about the place that you're at. Christ is the author and he's the perfecter of our faith. And we go through life in a process of going from faith to faith to faith, where our faith is being grown, developed, strengthened, so that we can stand in God's grace and God's presence. And I want you to just take a few minutes and reflect on what God is revealing to you, where your faith is, and where you need to move. And give you an opportunity just to ask God to help your faith grow and open your eyes to see and understand as you seek him. Father, it is amazing to us that you care about us, that you want us, that Jesus Christ would give his life to redeem us. And we know, Lord, that faith is a gift from you. It doesn't come natural. But you give it to us. And Father, we want it. And we want to develop it. I know when I was a young man, I really had no idea what faith really was. But as I grow, I want to understand and know you and your heart. I want my faith based on who you are and my relationship with you. I don't want to end my life like someone like Saul who whenever things got tight, they just couldn't do what you asked them to do because they thought it wouldn't work out. I want to end up like somebody like Daniel or like Joseph that could be in tremendous pressure and yet still be able to seek and to find and to live out your great will and watch you fulfill your purposes for my life. I know I can't have faith outside of you. And my faith is dependent upon how well I know you. And so I ask you, Father, to give me a heart, and I ask you to give us as your people a heart that desires to know you, that desires to grow in their faith, that desires to be able to understand your heart in such a strong way that nothing else matters, that we truly have our lives in your hands and we are your servants. And so we give our lives to you, Lord, because we know you have the answers and we only are going to experience the life, the full life that you desire us to have as we follow you. Show us the way and help us to love you. In Christ's name we pray, amen.